Those are the Lakeside Singers singing. It's from their CD, A Christmas World. They're in concert next Sunday night at the Fourth Presbyterian Church. Go to lakesidesingers.com. Also, if you want to do something free tomorrow, Nichols Hall in Evanston, the Music Institute of Chicago, that our great Elif Garris did a wonderful piece about, is doing a Music of Harold Arlen special with Heidi Kettenring and Jeremy Kahn on piano. Tomorrow night, 7:30, it is free. Free. It's at 1490 Chicago Avenue. One of, ladies and gentlemen, the brightest moments in my year, if not my life, was sitting down with my pal Bill Zamy in April when he got a text from his sister saying that his latest test for cancer was a good one. Bill, how are you feeling now?
I was sitting up and taking solids now, Richard.
It is one of no story I wrote this year got as much response, because Bill Zamy, one of arguably the most talented freelance writer in the history of Chicago, has written books about such people as the strange Mr. Andy Kaufman, Hugh Hefner, and others, and the most successful magazine writer of his time. People love Bill. People love you.
At least tonight, it sounds good.
The cover of the January issue of Chicago Magazine, for which Bill writes these days, is...
Go figure.
Well, the magazine business has gotten crazy. I think you found a good home here, Bill, in Chicago Magazine. Bill came back to writing with, the back room interviews.
He's done
interviews so far monthly with Mike Ditka, Tom Skilling, Mike Flager, and Mavis Staples. And in January, which will be available online at chicagomagazine.com, this Tuesday is a story titled What Cancer Taught Me. How hard was this piece to write, Bill?
It was an impossible mission for me. I still not sure. I guess I'm proud of what we've got there, and yet I don't really know what it is. I think it's me blathering. Well, you know, essentially what it was, I couldn't write about it. I still haven't been able to actually write about this, other than zillions of emails over the last few years. But otherwise, I've not been able to just sit there and try and construct a sentence artfully about what I went through. It just feels wrong. I can't stand that far back from it yet. But I can certainly talk about the experience.
I think in this piece, which I know that one of the, an editor you like there, Terry Nolan.
Terrific editor. This is really his handiwork. He's such a smart guy, I got to say.
He is a smart guy. But what he pulled out of you here, I think, is really remarkable. It is at once kind of chilling but incredibly hopeful, too. I'm going to read something. It begins like this. It's in What Cancer Taught Me, from the crushing diagnosis to the resumption of a semi-normal life. Noted author Bill Zamy shares what he learned coming back from stage four, and Bill writes here. Got a nice picture of you too, Bill. Bill writes, my first reaction to the diagnosis was not utter panic. What popped into my head was literally this. Well, at least it's fashionable. All the best people get cancer. Mine was colorectal stage four because of a couple of spots spread onto the liver. Not one word of which remotely registered in my brain at the time. All I knew was I'd joined a very large and distinguished club, and that's truly and really what empowered me every step of this surreal 3-year odyssey. That, as we say in the newspaper business, Bill Zamy, is a very good lead.
Well, it's, I guess it's, there it is. Boy, there you have it. And,
true.
I feel like Ed McMahon right now. You know? Everything you need to know about cancer is in this article, I've got to tell you.
Well, one of the best, and when we've talked over these last few months.
It's really personal, right? It's personal.
Oh, my God, Bill.
It's unbelievably naked and real, and I can't believe I've said these things in public, and it's really, but I think it might be helpful, I guess. You know, there's some reason I'm surviving, you know, and carrying on, and I did sort of pull one off here because it was quite a ride with this particular dance.
When your editor asked you, could you do this? Were you reluctant at all?
Completely. I mean, I sort of dodged it and said yes all at the same time. I'm very good at that, by the way. I kind of noncommittal yes.
Yeah, you and me both, Bill.
Yeah, right? It's an art. But we've got the annual doctor issue coming up. And it was exciting. And they do sell well, these meds. And this is a beautiful issue. I'm honored to be in it. And it's freakish, though, in this regard, because I've been doing this back page thing, which is me just talking to people and plucking out, Terry Nolan and I plucking out some of the coolest things that they say. And it's kind of like poetry. It's word jazz in a way. But
yeah, I love it. I love it.
It's people who, you know, just expressing themselves, and they're super famous icon Chicagoans.
Yeah.
Chili Pepper is the next one, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. For those of you who don't know Chili Pepper out there, ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves. But yeah. I find that the stuff you're doing for the back room to be, you know, yeah, Ditka's been interviewed 50,000 times, and you still got something from him, which is what makes you as artful a freelance writer as I know. You were able to, you're honest with people, and they in turn, Bill, are honest with you. And the depth of your honesty in this particular What Cancer Taught Me piece is really is so admirable. Here is what I think, anybody out there who maybe or knows somebody suffering from cancer, here is Bill's rule number one from the get-go. Never look anything up on the internet, and to this day, I really haven't. That has got to make you almost unique, Bill. How could you fight that urge?
It's like a lead-plated wall that just slammed down. You know, because everything about me is curiosity. That's why we write.
Yes.
You know, and so I naturally love looking things up. And, of course, it's ridiculous now because you can look up everything. It's insane, you know.
Yeah, it is.
The whopping size of it. And, therefore, there's so much information. Anyway, the point is, it's noise. Your diagnosis came in, it was like it clobbered me and it knocked me sideways, and I wanted quiet. And the noise of the internet and the information that it would be throwing at me, you know, psychologically, I just felt like it would be pelting my soul. And besides, I've got great doctors at St. Joseph's, the President St. Joseph Hospital in Chicago here was where I was imprisoned for 118 days.
From April 22nd to August 18th, 2014. You mentioned in here, too, when we did our, when I wrote my story about Bill and made a ton of people out there happy, because Bill, the other thing, and you mentioned it in this piece, too, Bill, you didn't feel like, now, calling, people were like, where's Bill? And people would call, and you just didn't feel like giving, you know, updates, did you?
Well, it's because it reminds, you know, and I try to explain how peculiar it is, but you're constantly having to remind yourself of what you've gone through. You know, there's no dodging this thing. When you got it and you get over it, even you're a different person. And I guess I kind of talk about that a little bit
because you do.
I think it's a strange transformation. It's a metamorphosis. And I'm going through it right now. You know, I think that's part of what I'm doing at Chicago Magazine is I'm figuring out what it is that I'm going to be. Even though we know I am going to deliver the definitive Johnny Carson biography that happen, I promise.
Yes, Bill got trapped in what he called, in another piece I wrote, when we sometimes meet together at Twin Anchors, our favorite restaurant in Chicago, he got trapped in Johnny World, where one interview, he got the last interview with Johnny Carson before Mr. Carson died, and is perhaps the world's leading expert on late-night television in that crazy, crazy world. But Johnny World, one person would lead to another person would lead to another person, and you kind of were. I mean, it's not like being in a hospital room at St. Joseph's, but it was
right.
kind of like being trapped, wasn't it?
Well, it was that, and more and more information being provided, you know, suddenly landing in my lap. I was being clobbered thunderously by wonderful material. I mean, so much. I was finally given full access to the archive, you know, and, you know, since I'm a scholarly fellow, but, you know, Carson, you know, I guess the scholars are allowed to go trolling through these archives, and certainly nobody's been bugging Johnny's nephew, Jeff Sotzik, more than I have over the past 10 years. 10 years in the works!
Oh,
and
it's, man, I know.
Robert Caro, isn't it? Isn't he the guy who does the LBJ books, though?
That's right, Robert Caro. Robert Caro does the LBJ books. I don't think there maybe there are two books. I don't know if there are three or four books in Carson.
I think there could be two.
Two,
frankly,
I think two.
New York years is so exciting and madman-like. His 1960s, that was it.
He was
Don Draper's hero. You know, this is who you'd want to beat, is Johnny Carson in New York. So he thought Don Draper was cool and strange and peculiar and I'm telling you.
And misogynist and crazy.
Complicated man. Very complicated. Those wonderful, crazier years. But when he marries his third wife, Joanna, it happens when they start out in Los Angeles. He finally moved to Burbank, as everybody knows. That's where Johnny was, you know, for years in Los Angeles.
So I would hope, and I know all of your fans, Bill Zamy's fans, and all of the people who love your writing and have been waiting for the Carson book. They're going to get it, aren't they?
I swear to God, one of my great old friends is I've been talking to named Richard Lawlitz, a terrific local guy. I went to college with him. I think we're going to go back in there. I need somebody to help me, but I'm going back into this monster, and we're going to make a beautiful book.
What about, though, and I'm saying this based on your amazing, amazing piece. It is not a long piece in the January issue of Chicago Magazine, but it is, frankly, an unforgettable piece that you can read online beginning Tuesday. The January issue of Chicago Magazine will probably be on newsstands next week.
They told me, where they start showing up first is apparently, I'm just learning about Chicago Magazine. Yeah. I've only been a Chicagoan for 58 years, but apparently they go on sale at the grocery checkout line first. That's kind of where you start seeing them. So I guess Whole Foods tomorrow is apparently what. But people, I think, who subscribe have probably started to get this. So a few people may even be holding this thing. In their mailbox.
Well, you're going to get, Bill, you're going to get a tremendous, tremendous reaction to this, and you are going to get as well some nibbles from some of the smart publishers in this country about a book based on your, I'm going to call it an adventure. On your adventure, ongoing adventure. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know you're going to have to deal with this right now.
Well, I sat with a very wise man one night at the Twin Anchors, and he was giving me some ideas about how this could actually grow into a book and be sort of unique. And I think, you know who I'm talking about? You.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, Tim, ladies and gentlemen.
All of my great ideas happen at Twin Anchors. Well, I would like to see that too, Bill, because
it's a great idea. But you gave me something very unique. We probably shouldn't talk about it, but that's the power of a Rick Kogan, and I'm so honored. By the way, I love being on this show. I've always wanted to spend more time with you on this show because you're my hero. So,
well, that's great. Thank you very much. You're my hero, Bill, and you will be the hero of a lot of people when they read your piece in January issue of Chicago Magazine. Now, I know you don't sleep. You have weird sleeping hours, so go watch TV or something. And I love you.
I love you, too, and I'm so honored to talk about this with you. You're the first guy I talk to. I know, with all due respect, I couldn't have started coming back to life if it weren't for what you and I did in the spring in the Tribune and the beautiful story that exists online. Wow. And it's given me the strength to really do this thing, which people will see, and they'll say, why did he say that?
Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. People, Bill, it's brave. It's brave. It's brave on every level, and it's honest, and the world is terribly lacking in things like that. Take care of your sweet self, honey.
Talk to you soon,
all
sir.
Right, you bet. You bet. That was Bill Zamy, who has an amazing piece about what cancer taught me. It taught him plenty, and he sounds good, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen?